What is your favorite food? I think I can honestly say mine is bread. Now I'm craving my warm sourdough bread with some butter and salt on top. It's honestly the perfect thing to eat. But I'm also realistic, and I know for many of you out there, the carb feel might be real. It is too bad that carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. That's why Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They have remade carby empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, plus protein and fiber. And let me tell you, their products taste amazing. The other day, Dennis and Leah and I were making some grilled cheese sandwiches, and that would be a perfect place to swap in Hero Bread. I am very mindful when it comes to what my daughter eats, and I love that this bread helps you get enough fiber and adds more protein to your diet while cutting down on the sugar. Hero Bread is not only delicious and flavorful, there's something for every craving, including sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas. So don't give up on being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code YOGAGIRL at checkout. That's YOGAGIRL at HERO.co. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. I hope you're doing well today. Oh, I really am sitting here with my hands to my heart with this longing that you listening to these words right now, that you are well, that you're feeling good in your life, that you've had a good week. Maybe you're really ready for a nourishing, sweet, restful weekend. I hope you're well. And I have been thinking about being well a lot over the past few weeks. I've been thinking about wellness and what it actually means. Wow, I have so much to share with you today. This past week has been one of the biggest weeks of my entire life, which is something I didn't think I would say about a regular old week in April in 2021, but it absolutely has been one of the biggest weeks of my life. Dennis and I let go and got rid of and lost all of our belongings. I'm mindful of the use of all of our belongings. Okay, let's say, yeah, we've lost 95% of everything we own, which is mind-blowing. I mean, like even saying that on the podcast, that I actually did that, that here I am. But it's true. It's true. And I'm going to kind of walk you through this process today and share some big epiphanies and realizations around space and letting go and purging and big, big, big themes that are coming into my life, not in a subtle way, right? But in a big kind of punch in the face kind of way, which is the way I tend to learn all of my lessons. I never get those gentle little lessons that come my way softly. It has to be like a boxing glove to the head kind of thing. Yeah, here we are. So before we dive into this story, I would love to take a moment to anchor with you. I had a crazy day, a crazy day in a crazy life, but literally ran up the stairs after a crazy day and sat down and, you know, turned on the microphone, and here I am talking to you. So I definitely need this little moment to anchor and to ground. So if you're sitting down, let's get comfortable. Okay, I'm sitting on the floor. I'm on a couple of cushions. I always like to cushion myself a little bit when I'm sitting. It creates some more space for the lower back and the hips. And then a little view of where I'm at right now. I'm looking out at the garden from the second floor of this Airbnb we are renting right now. And strangely, there are trees all around. And where I live, I mean, I live in Aruba, we don't have a lot of real trees. And we have palm trees here and there and a lot of cactus, but actual trees, densely green trees, we don't have a lot. And somehow I'm looking out to what looks like a little tiny mini forest in the middle of a desert landscape, which is very special. So take a moment as you're sitting down just to look around a little bit. What environment are you in? What's this moment in time you've landed in right now? You know, if you're driving a car, become a little more mindful and present in terms of what you're passing by and how you're in this car in this moment. And if you're sitting down and everything is quiet around you, take a moment to appreciate something beautiful in the space you're in right now. appreciate something beautiful. Like I'm appreciating these trees in front of me. They're neem trees, if you know what neem is, which is a beautiful medicinal tree. Deeply appreciating these trees right now. Find something of your own that is beautiful that you can see. And then from there, we go ahead and we close the eyes if that feels good. Let's take a couple of deep breaths, yeah. So long, full breath in through the nose, fill up. Open the mouth and exhale. Let's do that a couple times. Big inhale. And exhale. Last one, fullest breath of the day. Inhale, fill all the way up. Inhale a little more. Hold. And then let it go. Beautiful. Welcome. We'll bring the breath back in through the nose and just take a few moments feeling into the body right now. Just sensing how you're feeling in the body in this moment. Sensing your breath, the blood coursing through your veins, the beating of your heart, your lungs expanding and contracting, all of your inner organs working for you right now, cells regenerating inside of your body in this moment. Take a moment to really feel on that tangible physical level this experience of being very much alive right now. There is so much unfolding and moving in the body every moment of the day without us having to make that happen, right? Without having to think about the breath, about the heart, about the kidneys and the liver or anything like that. It just, the body miraculously works for us all day long. So feel this experience in this body right now. And notice what's there. See if you can articulate it a little bit inside of yourself. For me right now, I am sensing a lot of energy in my body. It feels a little bit like my hands and my fingers are almost electric. Like I have a lot of energy pulsating, moving from having this kind of wild week, I think. And I can sense a bit of warmth in my lower belly. Also, I have this point in my upper back on the right side of the spine of pain. It's been there for a while, a couple weeks, getting a little worse every day. And even when I'm sitting still, I can kind of feel that point. It's like a little nudge. You know, my body wants my attention. So notice for you, yeah, same way I just articulated my experience in my body right now. Really feel into what's true for you. How are you feeling and how can you feel? How are you feeling it? How can you articulate that? Put words into that feeling. And just like I'm experiencing energy and warmth in my body and pain at the same time, we can feel many different things all at once. You can feel a little numb in one part of the body and very connected somewhere else. Can feel tired and energized at the same time, happy, sad. Just feel for a moment, take a few breaths and drop deeply into the body. Go deep. Use this moment as a true doorway home to you. And then whatever shows up in this moment, we'll stay with that beautiful, never-ending practice of letting things be. Of letting things be. I smile when I say that because I know it's not easy. It's not easy to let things be. It's not easy to let things be the way they are. We want to constantly fix and improve and change and do better and get better and look better and feel better. But the gold is in the letting it be. The true gems of life show up when we stop resisting, when we allow, when we hold space for ourselves to just be the way we are. And I know that's true for me and my body in this moment too, that little point of pain I feel in my upper back. Every day I keep thinking, oh, I should get a massage. I should work on that, you know? I should practice more yoga. I should. And I know when I let go, right? When I stop trying, when I take a break from all the fixing that's happening in my life right now, my upper back will soften too, you know? So any pain we're experiencing in the body right now, it's showing us something. It's important. We pay attention and we listen. And we can pay attention and listen without having to fix. So taking another few breaths in this moment, in this body, in this breath, in this perfect creation of you. Letting your next breath in just softly grow a little bit deeper yet. And through the nose, gently exhale. Now you can choose if you want to blink your eyes back open and look around the space a little bit, or if you want to stay listening to the rest of this podcast with eyes closed, you decide. Hi. Did you know that women were excluded from clinical research policy by federal law until 1993? Women belong in scientific research. They are essential. But not only that, how can we trust any of the data when it comes to our bodies if nothing used to exist? Ritual took this gap and conducted a university-led human clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. The results? It increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. That's some data we can trust. Ritual is a clinically backed multivitamin for women 18 plus with high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. It is USP verified, meaning you can trust what you're putting in your body and know that it actually works. And only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark. Not only does Ritual take your health seriously, they are also invested in the health of the planet. Ritual is a female-founded B Corp. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. I have been through the ringer when it comes to vitamins, and that's why I love Ritual, because I can actually trust that it does what it's supposed to do, and it comes from a company that actually cares. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off. So yeah, this upper back point, it is kind of like someone's poking me in the upper back with a sharp stick, which is kind of how I'm imagining my higher self talking to me right now. You know, it's like, I also get this vision of Saturn for anyone who's into astrology. So the planet Saturn in the solar system is this planet of discipline, you know, planet of restriction, planet of get it done. You know, do the work you were put to do in this life. And I have Saturn sitting on my rising. So I have a very intimate relationship with responsibility, you know, with doing the work, with like I'm here for something big. Don't lose sight of it. Keep going. And I'm almost imagining like I have a little Saturn pressure point in my upper back right now, nudging me forward. And at the same time, showing me this sign to soften and let go. And I know that there's going to be a moment, there's going to be, at the end of this, the world's biggest exhale. I wish I knew when the end of this is here, but I know, I didn't know before. I had this feeling like, you know, we found toxic mold in our house, we're losing our home, losing all of our belongings. Like, I didn't know how long this was going to take. So if I see light at the end of the tunnel, like, where is that tunnel leading me? Where is the light? Where is the end? How long is it going to be? And I still don't know, but I really trust now. I really can trust that there is an end. And at the end of this, I will take the world's biggest exhale and go, wow, you know, we made it through. So this week, I know last week I shared with you guys a lot of miraculous, beautiful things that have happened over the past, over the past couple of weeks in terms of the grace and the miracles and all the signs put on my path that we are in the right place, that things are happening the way they're supposed to, strangely, even though all of this just hurts so much. And those signs have just continued to arrive every single day. I mean, I shared this on Instagram a couple of days ago, but part of the purge, and I'm going to explain how and why, you know, what is this process of letting go of everything we own and why and how is that happening. But part of that is I keep finding really cherished, treasured objects that are so sentimental to me. And I am one of those people, I collect things. I love to purge and declutter and organize, but I also have this big, big, big nostalgic streak where I have many sacred things, like on my altar, for example, or items from people that have passed away in my life that I really held on to. I have also had a lot of big experiences in terms of death and grief, and then objects tied to that, you know, that I've cherished really intimately because they remind me of a person, or they remind me of grace, or if there's something really intimately linked. I have a very intimate link with a lot of objects in my home. It's not just, you know, a bunch of stuff I buy at Target. Like, that's not how I shop or live my life, you know. And most of the things in our house are actually gifted or precious in that way. So one of the things, or a category of things I cannot save, is feathers. So I can't save any feathers. It is impossible to clean, to mold, sanitize, and mycotoxin sanitize a feather. So I've been over this. I know a couple of podcasts, but in case there's someone brand new wondering what on earth is going on. So just to clean mold from an object in your home. And if you found mold in your home and it's in every room and it's very severe, the way it is in our house, like severe cases of really toxic molds, we know there's mycotoxins on everything we own. Mycotoxins like mold spores break off from the areas of mold in your house, and through ventilation and air moving around and all of these things, we have air conditioning units in the whole house, you know, air moves everywhere and mycotoxins move with these spores and then they land on things. And they're actually covered with this layer of grease, so mycotoxins are sticky. And they're smaller, they're the size of coronavirus pretty much, so they're impossible to see. If I were to shake up a blanket, for instance, in a bedroom and there's mycotoxins or mold spores on that blanket, it would take the whole day for that mycotoxin to land. That's how small they are, right? So we know they're in every room. We know it's everywhere on everything. Nothing is exempt from toxins in our house. And then how to clean things is you have to do this very specific process of wiping things down. And in some cases, scrubbing things down and HEPA vacuuming things and things like that. And things that are porous, like a feather, for example, are very, very, very hard to clean. Some porous things impossible to clean. So anything you can throw in a laundromat, for instance, like in a big washing machine with a bunch of detergent and detergent boosters and borax, for instance, and they can run on high heat in the water 3 cycles. Right, that's going to be okay. And it has to be something very thin, like a t-shirt or, you know, a shirt and, or shorts or something like that, like something thin that can be cleaned. But for instance, like a couch cushion, you can't clean. Dry clean clothing, you know, like I can put it in the laundromat, but it's not going to survive it. It's not going to come out in one piece, you know. Feathers, I can't put in a laundromat, obviously, you know, things like that. So feathers are this category that I can't save. And feathers is this thing in my life I have so many of, and so many very, very, very special ones. I keep finding feathers on my path. I have this very sacred old connection with feathers that somehow when I'm going through challenging times, it's like the universe placing little signs on my path. It's like I find feathers everywhere. People have gifted me really beautiful feathers along the, you know, over the years. I love wearing feather earrings, and I don't go out and buy, you know, like produced, horribly sourced. It's like feathers found on the forest floor in Costa Rica, for instance. Most of my feathers are found like on the ground in Costa Rica that a bird has shed. And I have one of them particularly. It's this big yellow and blue macaw feather that my best friend Andrea gave to me, and she passed away. I've shared the story of many times. She passed away in 2014, and she gave me this feather, and it's this very, very sacred feather that I have on my altar always. And I'll use for smudging sometimes, or I'll use, it's just in my own private personal practice, but I have it on my altar always. Also represents the air element when I build altars for the four elements and things like that. And I know I have to let this feather go, right? So I've had to collect all the feathers that I have, and they're all hard to let go of for different reasons. But this one in particular, it's like, oh man, I haven't thrown them away yet. I just put them all in a Ziploc bag, and all sacred items that I have to let go of, I'm going to do a fire ceremony at some point and put them in the fire and pray, you know, so it's not like I'm throwing them in the trash. I don't want to discard sacred items, you know, in a way that doesn't honor them. So on that day when I had to let go of that feather and I put them all in a Ziploc and I put them in a special like box to burn, you know, and it was the hardest day and I was like crying all day. And then I come home and Leia had been with our friends all day and she runs up to me and gives me a hug. She's like, mom, I got this for you. And she hands me a blue and yellow macaw feather. I mean, I could cry. I got goosebumps sharing the story. Like, I've shared the story a bunch of times this week because it's so wild. And I'm like, what on earth? She says, it's a very special feather and this one's for you. So it turns out she was with Patrick and Olivia, our best friends. And Patrick took her and Hunter, their kid, to his aunt who has like a little farm here where she has her own chickens and she has peacocks and like just birds that she's like saved and rescued that she takes care of. And apparently they have a macaw. And Leia came home, not like, and she gives me this feather, and it was like this perfectly preserved, amazing looking, beautiful one. And I couldn't get over it. I'm like, this is like Andrea coming right back through Leia, giving me this thing that I lost. You know, it's like nothing is lost. It's like if I need it, if it's something that's really precious, it's the energy of it. No, it's not just the thing. It's like the love that's there, the connection that's there. And it came right back. You know, and then the funniest part of this, and I'm telling Dennis this, I'm like, I cannot believe it. And he's like, did you see what's in the car? And I go, no. And I go in the car and there's a whole bunch of them. I mean, she has like a bouquet of macaw feathers. He was like, I don't know if it was like, you know, like that special. It wasn't like she found one feather and brought it to you. It was strange. Like she came home with like 15 macaw feathers because they apparently have a macaw that sheds a lot of feathers. And I'm like, well, that's even more amazing. I am in the space of lack, of loss, of, you know, how are we going to afford to fix our house? What's going to happen? Like we're losing everything. And then here my four-year-old little like moon child arrives with an abundance of the thing I lost that I thought I would never see again. You know, it's just amazing, right? So these little miracles, these little signs, which to me is a sign that we are on the right path. Otherwise, these moments of synchronicity, like to me, they happen when we are on the right path, when we are in a place of flow, even because this is true. We can be in a place of flow in the middle of a trauma. We can be in a place of flow in the middle of the hardest thing. And it's like we're going through the hardest thing, but there's still something there nudging us on our path. It's this presence of something important. Universal love, spirit, God, whatever you want to call it. Like there's that connection there. And I'm sensing it now. Last week, I had a few moments like that of like, wow, okay, there's miracles all around. But now this week, I feel it every day, every fucking day. There's another thing like that happens. There's another something that just, it's beautiful and so, so, so challenging, you know? Want to know one of my favorite sounds? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language, I guarantee it'll be one of your new favorite sounds too. Be a better you with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you have learned in the real world. I absolutely love using Babbel. Their convenient courses have helped both me and my husband learn real-life conversation skills in a different language. He's learning Swedish, of course, and I've been trying my hand at French again. It is so easy to learn how to order food, how to ask for directions, speak to merchants, and all without having to consult language apps while on vacation, or in my husband's case, living here in Sweden with me. Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off of your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, at babbel.com/yoga. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/yoga, spelled babbel.com/yoga. Rules and restrictions may apply. So this past week, we started 1 week ago. Today was day 7. We started the process of emptying our house. The whole house has to be empty, and I mean every single item has to be out, just the same way as if we're moving out completely, you know, to do like a move clean or something like that. So everything, we've gone through room by room, in each room determined like what are the things that can be cleaned that we really want to try to save, which has been a minuscule amount of things. I mean, it's I'm going to share a picture when all of this is done, just to show you guys, here are all of our belongings. Like it's, and for us, you know, we are not minimalists. After this, we are, I guess we can start to build a different kind of lifestyle, you know, where we have less and buy less and use less in a sense, or save less. You know, that's something also. It's like this emotional connection to things that both me and Dennis have in different ways. But so we've gone through every single room, and then we've categorized things. So we've had one category, which is like clean and save, which is a minuscule amount of things. And then I have a category, which is burn, right? Sacred items that I don't want to throw in the trash, that I will hold ceremony for later. And then we have clean and sell, or clean and donate. So it's like clothes that we can save, that we can clean and safely know that they're going to be totally free from toxins, but actually we don't want to keep anymore. And that part of this has been really big, honestly, going through, especially like I've held on to baby clothing, for instance, one of those things that, of course, like I was expecting us to have more kids. So, you know, and it's like babies, they grow so fast. We had so many clothes for Leia for all the different stages of her life. And I kept all of it, anything that wasn't broken or dirty or something like that. I kept all of it, thinking that we're going to have a second kid. Of course, we're going to reuse this. And eventually, if we're not, then we'll hand it down. And, you know, it's all precious. And now we just decided, you know, we're getting rid of everything. Like we can donate this to the local, like clean it and donate it to orphanages if we want. Again, if there's special pieces there that we want to sell to recuperate some of these funds, like we can. But so much of it, we had closets of baby things that I have saved that are just gone, right? Like we don't, you know, and I just decided that if we have another baby, we'll do this differently. You know, I know now we don't need as much as I thought I needed as a first time mom. You know, actually we don't. And I'm so glad right now that I don't have a baby in this moment. I'm so glad I am not pregnant. I'm so glad we're not going through this unbelievable upheaval of everything we know while tending to like a tiny infant. You know, that would have been a literal worst case scenario. So I also have this affirmation of maybe this is why we didn't have a second kid, like when I thought we would, because this wouldn't have been possible. I told my friend today is that if I was with an infant now and not sleeping and going through this, like you could all just check me in at a mental institution or something. Like I would not manage. I would have a mental, like, nervous breakdown for sure, because It's been kind of like hanging on by a thread, and we are in the perfect scenario to go through this. You know, we have Leia who sleeps all night, who's super easy. She's at an age where everything is manageable. Like there's so much of this where we are really blessed in that sense. But so, yeah, so that category of clean and sell or clean and donate is really big. And then we've had the category of throw away, right? Which started off, like we have this in our front yard. We have solar panels in the house. We have this, is it called a pergola? Is that English? Is that, or is that just a Spanish word? I don't know. But it's like a, basically like a roofing that extends beyond the roof of the house. It's like a carport. It looks like a carport. So sometimes we park our car there. And we just started this little pile of like, okay, we're getting rid of this. Oh, like all of our duvets, all of our cushions, all bags, anything tightly woven, a lot of like production equipment and bags and things like that. We've gotten rid of any thick blankets, like a lot of jackets and winter clothing and all of our shoes. And like, I'm trying to think of something. Yeah. Almost all of our books, all of Leia's stuffed animals, almost all. Yeah. No, I can't even say almost all of her toys. And that's hard for me to even say, because it's the part of this that is the most painful for me. So every item that we keep, we have to know we can clean. And, you know, like Legos and tiny little dolls, like you can't clean a doll with stuffed inside. And Leia's lost all her toys. Yeah, we've all lost it. Like the things we've kept, I can categorize, because it's very easy, like plates and silverware, which is stuff I don't care about. And I went through the kitchen. I'm like, there's nothing here. I have two pots that I feel like are really cherished, like Le Creuset, like these special pots that I love. And I'm like, I have no attachment to anything in this kitchen at all, like at all. And that's the majority of the things that we could save, right? Certain kinds of furniture that you can wipe down, clothes that can be put in a laundromat. Yeah. Toiletries, all gone. Makeup, all gone. Jewelry, if it's like silver or gold, like it's a high quality jewelry. I got this little machine. You can put each item inside and it cleans it through some sort of light or sound. I have to learn how this is done. It's like a professional grade jewelry cleaning thing. You can put one by one each item inside. So that I'm grateful for. There's a lot of jewelry I could save, but anything that was woven or with beads or with a fabric or with a thread inside, because that's organic material where mold grows, I couldn't keep. Yeah, almost everything that was on my altar. I mean, you hear it's like pretty much all of it. So we went through this process and we didn't know how long is this going to take, you know, and it's meant every single day that we've put on a hazmat suit, put on booties, put on this chemical mask with cartridges in it, and then goggles and gloves. And it's, you know, Aruba, it's like 85 degrees all year round here. You put on this suit, it's like I'm zipping up a sauna suit every single day. And we're not using air conditioning in the house. We have all the doors and windows open to keep the airflow going. It's been, I mean, I don't know if it's possible to detox while you're in mold exposure, but, you know, sweating is a detox, helps you detox. So I'm like, I don't know if I've been retoxing while detoxing or if that even is a thing. But we have been spending, you know, 10 hours a day at the house packing up our lives and this watching this pile in the front yard grow bigger and bigger and bigger. And bigger. I mean, it's been, I don't even know if I'm detached from it by now. I watched this pile today. Today was the day the container came and we put everything in a shipping, like full on one of those massive trash containers. We filled an entire container with things. And then watching that today, driving away from that container, I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel this sense of loss. I didn't feel this sense of, oh my God, these things. Like I was like, okay, I don't know if I've processed as we've gone or if it's been 7 days of this now. So I'm just desensitized. I almost said desanitized, but no, I don't know. What's been miraculous to me and in a lot of sense is just how much I've been able to let go of, I guess how much we've had hiding in different areas of our lives that didn't mean all that much to us. Like that's been a massive thing. For instance, we have a shed in the backyard. We have two sheds. We have one that's for like for sports things, where Dennis keeps all of his surfboards and bikes and diving equipment and things like that. And then we have one that's a properly built, it's like a little house, basically like a shed with proper tile flooring and everything, where we keep our Christmas boxes, for instance. We normally keep our, yeah, we keep our winter clothes for when we travel. We keep a lot of baby things, you know, our strollers from when Leia was little. Yeah, you know, you guys know, you have it too. You have a basement or an attic or a room where things go to die, right? And then, of course, certain things are like, we take them out when we need them, like the Christmas boxes. Once a year, those boxes come out, we decorate the house, and then they go back in, you know. And then certain things have been boxes of things where we've put things because we don't use them and we don't need them in the house, but also we don't want to throw them away, right? Because it's this idea of maybe we'll need this one day, right? A really good example of that is baby stuff. It's been, you know, of course we're not going to throw this stroller away or sell this stroller or give it away because we might have another kid. You know, we don't want to, you know, waste that money, of course. You know, we're going to keep it. But then all of the things that we've ever had for Leia when she was a kid, we've saved in that sense. And a lot of it hasn't been good. A lot of it has been like, oh, she never even used this thing. Why did we keep it? Why didn't we give it to someone who would love it, you know? Another example is like sport things for Dennis. He's a huge, he will fall in love with a sport and then go all in and get all the gear that he wants for this thing. And then a year later, he stops and he finds something else. A good example of that is free diving. He was super into free diving for a long time and had these amazing goggles and these special free diving fins and special weights and special wetsuits and things. And he's like free diving all the time and taking free diving courses and like so into it, like go deeper and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden he finds something else. Like he started road biking, for instance, and then he stops free diving. And then those things, which are valuable, right? They're nice. They're in good shape. He hasn't used them for that long. He has this idea that, but I'm going to start free diving again, but he doesn't, right? He doesn't. So then instead of selling those things, which would be great, or gifting them to someone who's really enjoying them, they just kind of get to go in the back of the shed and they start collecting dust. And guess what? They start growing mold. That's what's happened. I have that with a lot of clothing, you know, if it's a piece of clothing that I felt, oh man, I used to love this so much and I don't love it right now, but maybe I'll love it again, you know? And I remember all the beautiful times I have in that special dress, you know, oh, it's so beautiful. Or a bridesmaid dress, for instance, that I wore when my friend got married. And it's like, it was so precious, this dress. Of course I'm going to keep it. But then if I really think about it, I never used it after that. I never even looked at it after that wedding. Why did I keep it? Why didn't I? And I know we all go through these things. It is so hard. It's so hard to declutter our lives in this major way. So actually what's happened in our lives is that we've had these closet areas. For instance, a really good example is the top of our house where I have my office, which is also my practice space, has a whole wall of closets that we built, honestly, because we used to have that as our bedroom. So we had our clothes in there before. And then we moved downstairs and then that room had all these open closets. And what did we do? We just started packing them full with stuff, right? And I have thought about that a couple of times, how I will enter this space where I practice, which is really beautiful, you know, only has sacred things that I use every day. Like this practice space, it's like my podcast corner. I have my desk with my computer and the rest is just sacred spaces for me to practice, for all my self-care practices. But then a whole wall there, which are just doors that we almost never open for, that have extra duvets for when we have guests. We never have guests. Extra pillows in case we need pillows, but we have enough downstairs. I don't know why we have extras. It's tablecloths for when we have fancy dinner parties. We never, ever have fancy dinner parties. You know, it's like stuff goes in there. Shoes that I wore one time that I'm never going to wear again, but I don't want to throw them away. Little by little, we've just filled that closet, you know, full of stuff. And then sometimes when I am in that space to practice, I think about that. Like I have over the past year, like, oh my God, there's so much stuff back here. I could do something with that space if I cleared this out. But it felt like such a daunting task that I just never did. And now it was the first room we tackled for this purge. We just tore open those closet doors. And I mean, I don't think we kept a single thing. that was in there. To be honest, I'm trying to think. I had Andrea, my best friend, her bridesmaid's dress that she was supposed to wear for mine and Dennis's wedding. I kept. I kept. And I know this is a dress. It's a dry clean only dress. She never even wore it. You know, it was this dress she was supposed to wear, and then she died before the wedding. So I've kept this dress all these years with this memory of like, this was hers, right? On our wedding day, we hung it in the venue where we had the wedding, the whole wedding celebration. And we had a little chair where we hung her dress, and we lit a candle there and with a photo of her. And it became like a little mini altar where people could go and like pay their respects and sit with the energy of her, you know, during the wedding. It was really beautiful, really, really special. So of course I'm not going to throw this dress away. You know, it has this energy of this person I loved so much who isn't here anymore. And then when I took this dress out and I really am holding this item and feeling the energy of this item and remembering our wedding and remembering like she was the one who picked the colors of my bridesmaid's dresses. Like she picked this dusty blue color. And I'm remembering the conversations that we all had, like which color to choose. And we were choosing between sea foam or dusty blue and dusty rose. And she really wanted the light blue. And we went with that. And I'm remembering these moments, right? And like this dress that she was supposed to wear. And I remember her death and then the heartache and the beauty of our wedding day and sitting there in that altar space next to her dress. And like, oh man, you know, there's so much value, sentimental, nostalgic, loving value in this item. It's not just a thing to throw away, right? Now, I could be, maybe one day I will be one of those people or get a closer to that place where, okay, that it's the memory that's special. And the reason I want to hold on to the thing is because the thing evokes the memory, right? It's not the threads of the fibers of this dress that's particular, you know, somehow. It's like, it's the memory that's special, right? And then as I'm holding this thing that's been stuffed in a closet behind a door that I literally never open, but I've cherished this dress so much. I mean, it's been with me for all these years. And I'm holding it and I go, but I never engage with it. I never come here to take this dress out, to hold it, to hug it, to wear it, to bring it into my meditation, to, you know, it's this very special, nostalgic, sacred item, but it's stuffed in a closet full of things that are just trash. Like, why am I keeping things that are so important if I'm not keeping them alive? Does that make sense? And that's been, I think, one of the biggest and most beautiful takeaways of this whole process is in this last week, I have literally touched and held and felt every item that I own. Every single thing I have held to my heart. And so many of those things, you guys, I didn't evoke this heart-stirring feeling of, oh, I cherish this so much. So much of it, I could just let go. So much of it, I could just put in the pile in the front of our house. And that pile grew every day. And with every item I placed there, things got a little easier. And then I would come across, okay, here is something special, right? And a lot of those very special things relate to people that have died, relate to people who I know I'll never get to have an experience with them again. And the memory of them is in this shirt, you know, in this sweater, in this pouch, in this card they wrote me, in this, you know, this feather, for instance. And I have so many of those beautiful nostalgic things, and the majority of them I have hidden away. Isn't that crazy? Like if we have that sacred, sacred, sacred thing, we should be with that sacred, sacred, sacred thing. We should have it infuse the memory of that person in our lives. Put it on display to look at every day. Make sure it's something that's actually tangibly present in our life, not stuffed in a box growing mold in the back of a shed that we built to hold the majority of our stuff. Like, how bizarre is that? And somehow that's just like the human experience. You know, it's hard to let go of things. It's easy to hoard things. It's easy to bring meaning into stuff. And I've brought meaning into stuff that actually didn't have meaning, you know, like dresses that don't fit me. And I'm thinking maybe they'll fit me again. Or, oh, but that dress was so, I had so much fun in that dress. So, you know, I don't want to let it go, but I haven't worn it for 2 years. Why is it still in my closet? You know? So this whole process, it's been lit. Basically, it's been two categories for me. And I know that for Dennis, it's been a different experience, but he has been more in the thinking of what has this cost us, you know, and how much is this going to cost us to replace? Like, he's really worried about money right now. And I'm not thinking like that. I have two categories. Like I'm not even in the mindset of replacing. Honestly, you know, we don't need all of this. We've had way more than we've needed. We don't need to think about replacing every single item. To me, it's more, we get to purge our entire lives, walk away with almost nothing. And then we are going to encounter moments where we'll realize that, oh, we really miss something, right? Like, oh, here's something that we really genuinely do need. And in that case, I want to sit with that and evaluate that before we start adding things to our life again or spending money again. It's like, is this valuable or is it something we're going to use for a few months before it starts collecting dust at the top of a shelf in the pantry, you know? And my two categories have basically been sacred or trash. I mean, that's been my whole process this week, holding something, feeling that feeling of, is it sacred? Does it have meaning? And if the answer is no, and and I can't clean it, it goes in the trash. If the answer has been, okay, it's not sacred for me, but I can clean it and we can gift it, right? We can donate it, we can give it away. So we have a whole room. Leia's room is now the room of donations and gifts that can be cleaned, that we're going to clean really well before we either gift or have a garage sale or we do something with. And then we have this smaller room, which used to be our closet space, where we're putting little boxes of sacred, really of sacred, where I've been able to hold like a crystal and feel, okay, this means something. It's not just something that I picked up one time because I thought it looked cute and I never really feel anything about it. Like, it's real, it's precious. The books, the very few books that I've kept have been those books of, yeah, well, these are special. Like, I love this book. I will read this book again. This has meaning, you know? And this whole thing of keeping sacred items because they have meaning, but then stuffing them away, that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. So it's made it sort of a little bit easier to also let go of certain sacred things because there are many, many that I still have to let go of. Some of the most nostalgic items. I have two that are made with leather, and I'm vegan. I don't buy leather. I don't use leather, but I have two items that are leather, both that relate to my friend who passed away, that are like, I cannot imagine myself letting go of this, but it's leather. I cannot clean it. So, you know, what am I going to do? Am I going to keep this thing knowing it has toxins on it, that it might potentially make me and my family sick again? What do I do? I don't know. And with those items, I've put in sealed plastic bags, wrapped 5 times with a sticky note, you know, or marked just toxic, but keep. What? Like, how am I going to do that? I don't know. But I decided that certain things are too hard to deal with right now. And it's okay for me to save and let future Rachel deal with that, you know. Maybe in 6 months, I'll return and open that box and go, okay, maybe I'll find some magic solution where I can clean that thing, you know, and maybe in 6 months, I'll realize actually I can cherish the memory that that item holds without the memory of it. I can take a picture of it and return to the picture when I want the memory alive. Certain things like art, pieces of art and things like that, where we can encase in resin, which is a huge process, which will make the artwork like shiny, almost like glass, like it's wrapped in glass, but we can clean and encase in resin. And it's like, okay, so Dennis is like, great, so we have a solution for that. So we save everything that we can encase in resin. And I'm like, well, that also doesn't make any sense. You know, we need to really sit with this art that we have. Like, is this something that we find beautiful, that we would love to hang in a new clean, like this new version of this home that's going to be totally clean and spacious? Or is it something that we just have because it's stuck around for a long time, or someone gave it to us and we're like, oh, cool. You know, we had a lot of things on the walls like that, that when I looked at it, I'm like, I don't actually really love it, but it's been here all these years. So it never occurred to me to take it down. You know, okay, well, we can get rid of that. We can let that go and feel okay about it. Mothers deserve the absolute best. So this Mother's Day, spoil the moms in your life with little luxuries from Osea. Osea's skin and body care is the perfect way to remind all the moms, mother figures, caregivers, grandmothers, and mother-in-laws in your life to make time for themselves. If you have been looking for the perfect gift, I recommend Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil. I've been using it for years, and it seems like every single time I apply it, I get compliments on my skin. This body oil is rich, but it's never greasy, and it's clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. Your skin will feel more sculpted and toned, and you'll be left feeling silky, soft, and glowing. Another favorite of mine is the Andaria Collagen Body Lotion. Ever since I've been using collagen, I have noticed a difference in my skin. In fact, it's never been better. Using Osea's body oil and lotion together is a mega moisture duo, giving you a full body glow. Osea's products are infused with their signature Andaria seaweed, but it's also clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. Really just a perfect gift for yourself, the moms in your life, and even the planet. Spoil the moms in your life with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use the code YOGA for 10% off. So this whole purge, I mean, it's a purge of everything we own. And I can envision that there is going to be a version of our lives in the future that are just totally free, totally cleansed, totally spacious, where I would love a version of a home where I know everything in here I love. Everything in here I touch and connect with, you know, at least every week, every month. Like, it's not stuff that goes away to go in a box and then live in that box for years. But everything in here is sacred in different ways. And I realized even things that we wouldn't look at as sacred. For instance, I have a Vitamix. We've had this Vitamix for 11 years, the years Dennis and I met. I bought a Vitamix and we've had it. It's been through all three homes. And we use this Vitamix, this blender, every single day. And 11 years in, it still holds up. I mean, this could be an ad for Vitamix. Vitamix is the best, okay? I'm not paid to say that. But for instance... And then the fact that I have a ritual of I make a smoothie in that blender every single day for my daughter, every day. Like, that's sacred. I sustain and nourish my family with the use of this item, right? So even though it doesn't have this, it's not something I would put on my altar and pray to, you know, it's not that kind of sacred, but it's sacred in that sense of every day, that everyday sense of I use this to nourish my family. It's this important thing in my life. Okay. Well, we got to clean and keep that. So that's been my way of moving through this purge. Is it sacred? Is it not? Yeah, the Vitamix is sacred. Hell yes. Is it not? You know, then it goes in that pile. And today the container came and we put everything in there. We filled the entire container up. And for that shed that we have, I mean, everything that was in the shed, first of all, was moldy. So knowing that things that I put away to think I was storing, I was basically, it was like I was putting them in the trash every time I put something in the shed. Like, we'll use this later. We don't need it in the house right now. We'll put it over there. We don't need that. You know, it's a completely unsustainable way to live. Completely. I mean, I look at that. It feels so absurd now that instead of, it became this cop-out. Well, because we had this shed, I didn't have to evaluate. Hey, can I just let go of this? Can I gift it? Can I sell it? Can I enrich someone else's life? Like, someone else would love this thing. But no, I'm going to put it on a shelf in this shed where it's going to collect mold, because guess what? The shed was moldy as hell. So it's this new way of life forming for us, in a sense. And what I have realized is when we go through the process of letting go of things, of items, of material things, we practice letting go in that big, big, big spiritual sense that we need when life throws us those curveballs, and all of a sudden we have to let go of a relationship. All of a sudden we have to let go of a person because they died. We have to let go of a home because we lost it. We have to let go of a job because we got fired. We have to, it's part of the human experience to be faced with this daunting task of letting go of people, of experiences, of relationships that mean so much to us. And we have to go through that in our life again and again and again. And we resist. We don't want to. We don't like change. We don't want it. So we start to hold on, you know. And then that holding on translates into every area of our lives. We start to hold on to stuff, thinking that maybe that will make my life better. Maybe I'll need it one day. But this was expensive, but it had value, but, you know, but I loved it once, you know, so maybe I'll love it again. I'll keep it. We hold on. And by dropping into this practice of letting go of things, which is really just stuff. And if you follow me on Instagram, you've seen how it's stuff is not just stuff, right? Stuff is the little pouch that my best friend wore that every time I wear it, I feel her. You know, it's literally, I put that pouch around my waist and I feel her presence. So it's stuff is stuff, but it's more than stuff if it's special. The thing that can free up our lives is letting go of the things that aren't special, the things that weigh us down, the things that make our whole lives completely cluttered, you know, that keep us from being able to find things or know where things are, that just add this layer of toxicity to our lives, even without the mold, you know. It's like if we look at our home and you really, really, really look at your home, is this a clear, clean, light, spacious place for you to experience life from? Or is it this area, this thing that weighs you down where you constantly feel like every moment of the day you're cleaning? I have that feeling in our house. Constantly, like I am organizing and putting things away all the time, every day. And then that surface gets cluttered again. And then I clean it, and then it gets cluttered again, and I clean it. So why does that happen, you know, if I'm cleaning all the time? Well, because we have too much stuff, and we have stuff that we don't know where it belongs, right? And it's been such an eye-opening thing to realize just how quickly we could lose everything we owned and still be here and still be okay. And yeah, there are certain things I'm not okay with. There are certain things that, you know, having that whenever I have to have that fire ceremony and letting really sacred things go. But those things I can count on two hands, I think. If I think of Leia's room, if I separate that, because that's been the hardest for me, is everything relating to Leia. My own, if I really think of my own things, I mean, I think I can count on 10 fingers the things that feel really, really gut-wrenching, heart-aching, horrible, right? But then there were, what, hundreds, maybe thousands, I don't know, depends on how you count, things that I let go of and they're gone. And I probably won't think of them, you know, individually again. How crazy is that? Shoes, makeup, toiletries, a lot of clothes, jackets, you know. I feel even just telling the story somehow, because it somehow are things, they make up our lives somehow, but somehow also our life isn't in our things. Right? And I mean, we know that. It's like the biggest spiritual, easiest lesson of all time. It's like, meaning isn't in things. Meaning is in love. Meaning is in nature. Meaning is in life. And there are certain moments with certain things where they actually enrich our lives. But for me, this big pile hasn't added value to who I am. It's been, I think, stealing a lot of my peace. Stealing a lot of space, stealing a lot of time, the amount of time spent thinking about stuff, organizing stuff, putting it in the right place. And the challenge, I think, now is how do I not go back to that kind of lifestyle again, where we accumulate, right? I would really, really, really love to live simply, to live cleanly, to live. Oof. And I don't know what the future holds for us, but when I look at the house right now, it's empty. You know, it's totally empty, as if another family is going to move in anytime. And we're facing the stage now of remediation, which is the cleaning of the mold of in every room. I mean, completely, which is a very big job. We estimate it's going to take like 2 months probably to we have to redo the roof, open up some walls, take materials down. We have to completely clean and HEPA vac and sanitize and paint and seal like every part of the attic, this attic space that we have where we found Aspergillus, which is this mold that we all are really sick from. And at the end of this, you know, and this is also for me the good part of this, right? The end of this, I can envision this home clear, right? Like a clear space, an actually healing container for us to live in, right? It's going to be kind of how I've touched every item that I own now. I've touched it. I've held it. I've really been with it. And what's left in those very few in that little room, it really has meaning. Now it's almost like the feeling of, I told Dennis, if we would get robbed now where we only have these things, but these things mean so much. I mean, that would be heartbreaking. That would be so hard. It's almost like we've distinguished, like, here is what means something to us. And I'm like, we have to make sure we don't lose this box. Like this one box I have, it's the most important box in the whole world because I really put all of my sacred, most cherished items, they live together now. They're not scattered in different rooms and different closets and different things. Like they're all here, like meeting each other, which is also really special. But envisioning this space now, knowing that yes, we are able to clean the house and we have a way forward and we'll be able to move back in if we want to move back in, which I don't know if I do, to be honest. But just envisioning that space, clean, clear, pure. It's like I would love to, when I put things back in the house or when we have a new house, if we end up moving somewhere else, like everything is up in the air. I don't know. Are we going to live in Sweden? Are we going to be in a room? I don't know. But this beautiful vision of opening the front door to your home, knowing that every area you see is meaningful. I used to think that the idea of that sounded really strange. Like, of course, everyone has cluttered shelves. Everyone has that room where stuff goes, right? Everyone has a messy closet. But like, does it have to be? I kind of wish I could have learned this lesson gently and quietly, like through Marie Kondo or something, you know, like this. I loved her book and I love that show on Netflix. It's so good. Could I have like gently, willingly just purged things and then figured out, you know, that this is where the kind of life I want to live. Did it have to happen with this big smack in the face? Yeah, it did. Because this is how I have to learn all my freaking lessons, right? And there's the bigger component of the detoxification of our lives right now. Detoxifying our bodies, detoxifying our house, detoxifying our things, detoxifying our relationships. I am detoxing old relationships. I'm detoxing family dynamics, patterns, limiting beliefs, how I look at the world, how I relate with people. I mean, there's not one area of my entire life that isn't being cleansed right now. And it's been the most painful, excruciating, horrible experience. But I'm sitting here right now and it hasn't even been that much time. I'm a month and a half, into this. And already I understand. Like, I get it. I get that this is bringing us somewhere totally fucking beautiful. This is bringing us somewhere totally clear, totally pure. This is bringing us toward healing. It is. And we had a lot of things we didn't need, turns out. And that process of letting go, of purging, of releasing, of letting be, you know, letting go, saying goodbye, it's teaching me the biggest lesson I've always known is my lesson to learn in this lifetime. I wrote a book called To Love and Let Go. I mean, you can't make this shit up. I wrote a book called To Love and Let Go. I know my lesson in this life is to learn to let go. And it's like, thank God the universe keeps bringing me reasons and ways to return to that thing I'm here to do. You know, I can feel that little stick poking me in my upper back right now. It's like, mm-hmm, keep going. keep letting go, keep letting go, keep letting go, keep letting go. Keep getting closer to what you're actually here to do, to be, to feel, to love. Keep letting go. So that's where I am for now. Maybe this podcast, I mean, I know what I'm going through is very extreme and we are forced to do this. It didn't happen out of excitement or joy or anything like that. But I know it's inspired a lot of people to look at their homes and to start letting go in certain ways. You know, I know that. I know people out there have been inspired to get to the root of their mold issues just through like watching me share this online. I feel really good about that, to be honest, to be able to share this experience, because I know so many people have been or are currently going through the same thing or have discovered that they have the same issue in their home. So if this podcast or listening to these words inspire you to let go, you know, maybe of things in your home, maybe of whatever is toxic in your life, you know. And it's almost like toxic things don't have to be just one thing that is unhealthy. It can be the accumulation of all the things that don't serve us, you know. And I can see that reflection of how I live my life in this way of, don't worry, I'll carry it for you. You know, whatever pain you have, don't worry, I got it. Whatever problems you have, don't worry, I'll fix them, you know. In my family too, I've been the designated rescuer, saver, fixer of everyone's problems. I feel like I've lived a lifetime of carrying everyone's toxic shit. So no wonder I live in a toxic house. You know, I built this life holding people's toxic shit, and I'm done with that. And I started shedding those relationships a year ago. Before the pandemic, I started shedding those relationships. I stopped letting other people put their burdens on me. I stopped carrying it. You know, started putting it down. I started focusing on myself. And it's like since then, everything has unraveled that hasn't been healthy. And I guess I'm hoping this is the last thing, that it's like the house. Okay, after this, what's next? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But I can see how this... these toxic walls, you know, and roof and floor, like the structure of my home, it's been toxic because I've had a toxic structure in my life since I was really little, holding on to other people's pain and hardship, and it's not mine to carry. So maybe that's just how it works. We start to cleanse one area of our lives, and then it's like dominoes, you know, the next thing falls, and the next thing falls, and the next thing falls, and it's gonna hurt, but it's leading somewhere really, really, really good. So whatever you are letting go of right now, I know you're letting go of something. Maybe you're resisting it. Maybe it's really hard, but you are letting go of something. Life is nudging you to put something down, to clear something out, to air something out. A relationship, judgments, your home, your things. Take a moment right at the end of this show now. Just to sit with that a little bit. What area of your life feels heavy? What area of your life feels toxic? And how can you move a little closer to letting go? And maybe what's true for you is you also have a shed, a basement, an attic, that room. This could be a really good weekend to start. Start letting go of that and then see what comes next, because something is going to open up. I love you. Thank you for listening. And I'll just be here loving and letting go until next week. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode, and a huge thank you to my sponsors. Please support them the way they support this podcast. This has been a presentation of Cadence 13 Studio. If you enjoyed this show, please listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. Available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you normally get your podcasts. I'll see you next week.